This episode is brought to you by Kala Red Light. Red light therapy is an incredible way for you to uplevel your health and wellness. I had the opportunity to interview the co-founders of Kala Red Light, and I learned so much about red light therapy. There are so many different benefits to red light therapy, including improving cognitive function, helping you with better sleep, skin health, combating anxiety and depression. It helps reduce inflammation in the body. It increases your libido. It helps to boost energy, stimulate hair growth, and so much more. Go listen to the podcast episode I did with Landon and Cameron, the co-founders. We talked not only about more of the benefits and in depth about the benefits, but who red light therapy is good for. So whether you are pregnant or breastfeeding, whether you have some sort of back pain or any other physical ailment, red light therapy could be the answer that you are looking for. We talk about how to do it, how often to do it, where to keep your device so that you're not getting any EMF. And right now, they have very generously offered 10% off site-wide when you use code BALANCEBYMEGAN at checkout. That's 10% off site-wide any of their products online when you use code BALANCEBYMEGAN, M-E-G-H-A-N, all one word, at checkout. Welcome to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of the show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life podcast. I am your host, Megan Farrell Gordon. It is hard to believe we are 2 weeks into November. How crazy is that? We are 6 weeks out from the end of the year. How has your 2022 been? I know we still have time. 6 weeks does seem like quite a bit of time, but at the same time, it also seems like it's just been here, gone so fast. Crazy. Today on the podcast, we are talking about one of my favorite things. We are talking about yoga, retreats, transformation, wellness, all the things. And I am joined by Georgia St. John Smith. Georgia built up a successful corporate career, but when she reached a certain level of success, she had a what now moment. She had all the money she needed and more, but was experiencing burnout and knew there must be another way. So she set out on a mission to find out how to create a life that balanced her ambition for success in business alongside living the life of freedom she was craving. It started with a trip to Bali to study the science behind ancient yogic and meditation practices from the Eastern world that had been proven to do just that. Soon after, she traded her fast-paced London lifestyle for the laid-back island of Ibiza. Georgia is the founder of Sancti, a retreats brand that's developed a unique and transformational experience inspired by Ibiza for those who want to be industry leaders, people who set trends rather than following them, cultivating a collective of high performers who change the way business operates. Say goodbye to burnout and stress that is woven through society, and hello to a new way of working that feeds your soul. On this episode, we talk about Georgia moving from rainy London, England to the island of Ibiza, leaving her corporate career to pursue her passions, and her yoga teacher training experience. We also discuss what people can expect when they go on a Sancti retreat, activities and transformations people experience during the retreats, her wellness rituals, and so much more. Make sure you guys give Georgia a follow afterwards. She posts incredible things online. Ibiza looks absolutely beautiful. It is a place that I have not yet been to, but is on the bucket list. And I think after you see all of her posts online, it will be on yours too. I I get a lot of DMs and emails asking me about certain products and brands that I use in my daily life because I rave about them so much online in my socials. And while I do encourage buying local when you can, sometimes you just can't. And that's where Amazon has come in so handy. I've created my Amazon storefront where I link all my favorite products and brands and my go-to book recommendations. You can find products I use in my business, like my Yeti mic, the beauty products I swear by, the frother I use daily for my coffee, and so much more. My LifeStraw filters just came in today. That was so handy. I looked for them online everywhere, couldn't find them. Boom, Amazon had them, and they were here in 2 days. I am constantly adding more to the storefront, so make sure you are always checking back in to see the products and brands that I love and use. Use the link in the show notes to follow along and shop all your beauty, wellness, business, fitness, and lifestyle needs. Welcome to the show, Georgia. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
I would love if you could give a little bio of who you are and where in the world you are currently joining us from today.
Yes, my name is Georgia. I am coming to you from Ibiza in Spain. And I run a retreats business. So I've got a background in yoga, but also business.
I love it. I would love to talk about, because I was talking with your, I don't know if it was your manager or your PR person, about how you got into this space. And it's such an interesting story. And I think one that a lot of people can relate to. I would love to back right up to even before you started your yoga journey. What were you doing? Where were you living? All of that stuff before you decided to take your yoga teacher training.
Yeah, so I was living in London. I was working in a corporate career in the recruitment industry. And I was like, I went through this phase of really like loving this corporate world and making loads of money and going out and doing all these things. But it got to a point where honestly, I seriously burnt myself out. Like, I remember going to the doctors and being like, oh, hey, I have this headache. And he was like, okay, how long have you had this headache for? And I was like, 6 months. He said, what do you mean? I was like, yeah, I've had this headache for 6 months. He's like, every day? And I was like, yeah, every day. It's driving me mad. Can you help me? And then he started to talk to me about all these like things that he could do, which involved some like were like putting needles on my head. And I was like, wow, this feels really extreme. And then he said, but what do you do? Like, how do you spend your time? And I said, oh, I'm working in recruitment. He's like, is it a stressful job? And I said, well, yeah, really stressful. And he was like, that could be causing your headaches. And it was then I had this like moment of realization. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm giving myself health side effects. Like, I'm doing this to myself, this headache thing. And it really like hit home, like how impactful my job was on my health. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. So then I started to become quite curious about, oh, is there a better way to do business? You know, could I get a better work-life balance? But the company I was working with, they just weren't having it. They were like, this is how we've done things. We've always done it this way. You're not getting extra holiday days. You're not staying in just because you have a headache. Like, good luck, basically, they said to me. And so I created this belief that I was like, no, I totally believe that there's a better way of doing business. And I went on this kind of discovery journey as to like, okay, I could start my own business. How could I do that? And ultimately what I wanted to do was prove that I could balance my ambition, but also with having a life and being healthy.
No, I think that makes total sense. And before you even got into corporate, were you into health and wellness? Was it something that just like totally didn't buy into? Were you into yoga before all of this? Like, what made you decide to go down this yoga journey? Besides the fact that, you know, you said the doctor was giving you all these extreme answers and you were like, there's got to be a different way. Like, why did you decide that there could be an alternative
medicine, if you will, rather than just taking a prescription or, you know, doing what the doctor said and just going, okay, like this is, you know, I'm in corporate. This is how things are going. This is going to be my life from now on.
I honestly, personally, my personal belief is that I had an inner knowing that I just knew there was a different way. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know yoga would lead me that way, but I knew there was a better way to do things. I think it's like this whole like primal instinct almost. Like I've always been very aware of how we live as humans now versus how we quote unquote used to live as humans. So I think I was just quite aware of that and thought, this isn't natural. There must be a more natural way to do this. But I was never like really into health and wellness or yoga before. The only thing I would say is I've always been quite active. So I was into dance. I did cheerleading at university, and that's when I actually came across yoga first, because I literally wanted to be more flexible. But other than that, no. And yoga just ended up to be something I stumbled across as I was like trying to be more calm.
Okay, so I would love if you could talk about that. So you did yoga in, as part of, you know, getting more flexible for cheerleading and all that stuff. And I love when people come to me for that exact reason. They want to get in better shape or they want to get more flexible, because I feel like if that's what gets you in the door,
Yeah.
perfect. We can work on that. And then it becomes so much more than just the physical side of things. But I love when people come to me for that, because I think that's where you start to see a lot of noticeable differences is the physical part of your body. So where did that lead to you next? Like you know that corporate is starting to weigh on your health. Do you just decide, okay, you know what? I'm gonna keep working in corporate, but I'm gonna go to yoga 2 times a week? Or is it I'm quitting corporate and I'm just diving headfirst, going to yoga, teacher training? Like, what was that next journey like for you on your yoga path?
Yeah, honestly, it was a bit of both. So before I get into that, I also wanted to say about, you know what you said about people coming into yoga for fitness? I find that absolutely fascinating. I'm totally with you. But also, what I found incredible about yoga is you go to it for one reason and you get something totally different. And it's all about, and this is what I've realized, is it's all about the mindset. It's all about the personal growth that yoga is just one of many tools of getting there. So yeah, I started taking yoga classes. I taught a fitness class in London on the side of my job. I just got really quite into this world of like yoga and fitness. So I started to surround myself with people who did this as a job, and I was looking at their lives and thinking, oh, you have so much freedom. That's what I want. And so then I started to think, okay, how could I create that into my life? I started off by going part-time in my job. I was doing 4 days instead of 5 days a week. And on that fifth day, it was like my discovery day. I'd be like, okay, what do I want to do? Like, what kind of business do I want to create? And I started off with like fashion, because I loved fashion. And then I was like, don't know what kind of great impact that's going to make in the world. And then I eventually found my way to yoga. So it was about 18 months of being really curious, listening to loads of podcasts, like just asking myself, what do I want to do and how do I do it?
What was your yoga teacher training experience like? Because whenever somebody asks me about that, I truly, truly feel like it was the best decision I ever made in my life. Like, it was the most transformational experience. And I really wish every single person took a yoga teacher training. And I also wish they didn't call it that, because I feel like that kind of throws people off. But it was everything about it was just, yes, we did poses, like quote unquote yoga poses, but there was so much to it that just like from that moment on, I became a different person. So I would love to know what your experience was like with it.
Yeah, it opened up a whole new world for me. And I remember actually on our first day when we got to the yoga training, our trainer, she said, okay, welcome to your yoga training, but I really want you to know that this whole world of yoga is like a huge forest, bigger than you could ever imagine. And within that forest, throughout this training, I'm going to share with you a leaf. And you can get to know that leaf. But just remember, there's so much more to discover in this forest than what I'm going to share with you today. And I always kept that with me because I was like, okay, like, here we go. There's so much to learn. But I'm a massive advocate personally for actually going away for a yoga training and doing the intensive month. That's what I'm actually a really big advocate for, because for me personally, one of my ethoses is change your environment, change your life. Like, if you're stuck in the same place doing the same thing, I personally don't believe you can grow. I think it does require some kind of environment change. And for a yoga training in a new place that you've never been, like, it's a perfect opportunity to do that.
So good. I always say that too. Like, you can't get better in the environment that made you sick. And in so many different, I mean, we could go down a whole rabbit hole on that topic alone, but it's the same thing. I remember my this, it was the studio owner, and she opened the teacher training for us. I did my training a little differently. Mine was spread out over a few months because I still was working corporate at the time. But I remember her, like, as we were sitting in the circle, being like, "Welcome to the next phase of your life." And it was like, oh my God. Like, I'm so, you're so ready for it. You're just ready for literally everything. And I remember talking to a few girlfriends afterwards, being like, "You're drinking like the yoga Kool-Aid." And it was just like, I still can't stop. Like, I'm so fascinated by everything in this world. And not even like, when we say yoga, and I'm sure you can relate, like, I think people that aren't in the space think of just poses, but it's like everything that encompasses yoga, right? Like breath work and meditation and how you interact with others and how you interact with yourself. Like, it's so much more. So you do your teacher training, you have this life-changing moment. Where did that lead next for you? Do you know right from there that you're going to share yoga and start this retreat business? Or what was that next few steps like for you?
I knew I was going to do something, but I didn't quite know what. I did. I took a massive risk. And I actually quit my job to do the training. Like, there's no way they would have let me do a month's intensive in Bali, but I was like, I want to go to Bali. I want to do this. Oh, I want to do it. So I quit my job in order to do it. And it's funny the timing that I quit it, because it was actually during just before the pandemic. And I remember in my head being like, okay, I can either quit in January and I go in February 2020. Or I could get an extra commission and I quit in April and I go in May, because it was two different trainings, Feb or May. And obviously, we all know that if I'd have gone in May, I would never have gone. Like, I wouldn't have made it there. Like, we were all in lockdown. But thankfully, something within me told me to go to the February one. I did. And I went to Bali and I got back and we were locked down. But I was so grateful that I was able to go into that lockdown period with like a new life almost, within having just finished my yoga training, which I think I'm always going to be really grateful for, because my life would be very different. Very different.
I feel like a lot of people could have used that yoga mindset during COVID and during those first few lockdowns. Like, I feel like you just would have been so zen going through it. Like, not a problem. We'll deal with this as it's coming up.
I don't know how I did it, because there was a lot, like, it was a very challenging time for me. Like, I know a lot of people who were like, oh, I loved lockdown, like, it gave me breathing space. And a lot of people were like, it was the worst thing ever. For me, I'm somewhere in between. Like, it was very, very challenging for me. But yeah, yoga got me through, actually. And it wasn't, and when, again, I'm like you, it's not just yoga, it was actually everything that comes along with that. It was all of it was like oracle cards, it was coaching. I did my coaching course in lockdown as well. Absolutely everything that comes along with it.
Yeah, amazing. What made you decide to move to Ibiza? I hope I'm saying that right, and start your retreat business.
It was a dream of mine. So I just remember, like, I came here on holiday for like 8 years in a row, and actually down to like the first time I came here, I was always like, oh, I'm gonna live here one day, like I'd love to live here one day. And it's really interesting because there's a huge party scene on this island. It's very well known for like the best clubs in the world and doing a season out here and getting absolutely smashed. But for some reason, from the very first time I came here as an 18-year-old who really should have been into all that stuff, I saw a different side to the island. There was something I knew. I knew there was something very, very special about this place. And I knew that one day I would live here. And I really, it was like a dream. It was a huge dream and an ambition for me. And I remember even last year, I was going to these like workshops, really into my coaching and all this manifestation. I was like, they were like, what's your dream? Like, what do you want to do? And I was like, my dream is to live in Ibiza. And they were like, okay, are you going to do it then? And I was like, no, God, no. They were like, but why not? I was like, it's really hard to live there now. Like, the UK have left Europe, you know, like, it's going to be very difficult for me. I can't do that. And besides, my boyfriend doesn't want to, so I can't do it. And it was very interesting now to look back and see how, like, I ruled out my own dream for myself. And then, yeah, a series of events happened. And a few months later, I found myself here on a one-way flight.
No, it's so when there is like a dream, a manifestation, a goal in mind, and if it's, I truly feel like, yes, you have to take the work and you have to do the initiative to make it happen. But when everything is like really meant to be, it just happens so seamlessly and it happens so quickly. You're almost, when you get there, I'm sure you felt like, oh my, like, how did this actually happen? Like, you're like, I just can't believe how fast this all like happened for me.
Yeah, I've got like goosebumps all over my body right now because it's brought me back to that time. And I was exactly like that. I was like, how am I here? Why am I here? Like, it was like, I'd obviously booked the flight, but I had this overwhelming feeling of like, what the heck is going on here? And I remember like, right, I started a journal on the plane on my way here. And I'd never done journaling before. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do Ibiza diaries. And it's going to be all about my times in Ibiza. I'm so glad I did because I've got the most wild experiences in there. And I just remember writing, I was on the plane. I was like, well, this isn't exactly how I thought my journey would begin. And in some ways, I feel so hurt and heartbroken. But in other ways, I feel really relieved and ready for this. And it just all went from there.
Amazing. So what happens when you get there? Are you like right away, are you starting this retreat business? Why retreats? Like, why not just teaching yoga? Like, what made you decide that this was the path for you?
Yeah, you know what? I experimented a lot with what to do in this yoga world. It took me pretty much the whole of lockdown and a little bit longer to just try different things and see what I liked and what I didn't like. So I tried teaching yoga, I tried doing it online. My original business plan was actually to do it for corporates in London, but I moved out of London before you knew it. And so I actually got to this point where I was like, I'm going to try a retreat. And I'd heard of retreats before. And what I was craving and what I wanted was a real like transformational in-person experience that I could share with other people without them having to go on a yoga training. Like, cause like you said at the beginning, it's like, if you go on a yoga training, like you become a teacher and not everyone wants to become a teacher or learn all of the anatomy, you know. I wanted to create this, like facilitate a place for growth that was really heavy on yoga, but also on coaching and all the things I really believed in. And so I just tried it out, the retreats thing. And then as soon as I did, I was like, hey, Ibiza is the perfect place. Like, it's crystal clear waters. It's got secret caves and amazing things to discover and share with people. So I chose retreats because I think I just tested lots of things out and realized for me, in person, transformation, that's what I want to create for people.
I love all of what you're saying so much. I love it so, so much. And I was looking through your media kit and you can correct me if I'm saying this wrong, but it's like the Sancti retreat experience. And then you have everything that's like associated with each letter. And it's like soul, yeah, adventure, neuroscience, connection, transformation, and innovation. And I was like, this girl gets it, because I feel the same way. Like, I can also appreciate A, teacher trainings are not cheap at all. They're very expensive. Yes, there's, you know, there's really two options if you think of it. You can do an immersive experience, which a lot of people can't get away from their jobs and it's just not feasible for them. Or you could do sort of like what I did and break it down and do it over an extended period of month. But then you miss out on kind of that adventure side of things. Like, nobody's going to take 8 months and travel back and forth on weekends to a place like Bali. You know what I mean? People are likely doing it somewhere local. But to be able to even do like a 4-day retreat, a 3-day retreat, a 2-day retreat, a week long retreat, that can be so impactful for people and really catapult them into living a different life. And you have, there's so much to it. It's not just you're doing yoga. It's not just, hey, we're here to party. There's just a whole kind of combination of things. So can you talk about what an experience like with you would look like? Like, what exactly are we doing on a day-to-day basis? Are we doing 8 hours of yoga a day, or is it an hour of yoga and then we're doing an adventure? And like, what would those daily activities look like with you?
Yeah, ultimately it's this combination of movement and growth. So I always describe it to people like a wave, like this. So we have these really high vibe activities, and sometimes that's the yoga, you know, we're doing like a powerful vinyasa yoga, we're in a secret cave overlooking the sea and you're like, oh my god, life can't be better. And then there's like people really like leave on a high, and then we take it really deep. So we dive really deep, and this is so important for me to bring into the retreats, and that I don't see it out there, is to create these workshops that really allow everyone who's at that retreat to figure out, okay, what is it that I really want out of my life and what is getting in my way? So it's uncovering your blind spots. And this is not necessarily comfortable. You know, we have tears, we have huge emotional releases, but ultimately we are in this together, and we create a super safe space, an environment where you're like, oh my God, I've never met this woman before, but she is my sister. And I know that no matter what, she has got my back. And before you know it, we're all like best friends, like hugging each other. And but not only that, but like we've shared things that we've never shared with anyone before, you know, these hurtful, painful experiences that we go through in life. And we realize, you know what, I have trauma, and maybe I'm not the only one. And maybe I have now a group of people who can support me through that. And I can support myself, the tools to support myself too. So for me, it's really about like creating a really meaningful, supportive environment. And then again, we take it back up and we ride that wave, and we're going on a hike and jumping off cliffs and doing all these awesome activities together with these people that you're now like, these are my number ones. And then again, we take it quite deep, but we do it this time in more of like an embodiment practice. So for example, through breath work or a sound experience or a sound journey using sound bowls, or even, I know people here on the island who do it with, is a DJ and uses the sounds of like the heartbeat and the sounds of the body and nature to really tap in to your subconscious and to allow you to access these places of intelligence that maybe you've never accessed before, or maybe you know it's the first time, but you're like, wow, okay, this meditation stuff isn't just about being calm. Like, I've got the answers to all the questions in life here. So it's bringing it into those like embodiment practices that you can use to be like, okay, I've got a decision to make. I'll use this practice. You know,
I I would love if you could give an example of even one of those workshops, because I feel like some people hear the word trauma and they want to run the other way, right? They're like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to unblock certain things in my life. Like, yeah. Is it a writing experience? Are there different themes with different retreats? And like this workshop we're working on, you know, we're sitting in a circle and we're talking about something that we've never talked about before in our lives, or, you know, pick a point in high school where you felt really down. Like, what would those workshops look like? In a sense, so somebody, yes, they're uncomfortable to talk to, but somebody's not like putting the roadblocks on and going, I don't even want to go down this road. Like, what would they be in for, so that they have a little bit of comfort going into it, knowing that it will help them move past whatever is holding them back?
Yeah. So ultimately, first off, like, it's so interesting that you say that, and I'm glad you did, because for me, like, anytime I face any element of trauma or something I was resistant to, I grew and I became a better person and I got things I wanted and great things happened in my life. So for me, when someone says that, I'm like, okay, sign me up. Like, here I am. But I do understand that actually it can be very daunting. And something that we're like, no, absolutely not. So for example, one of the ones that we did in my most recent retreat was, we called it a paint workshop, and we were on the beach. It's really important for me that we're in like this immersive environment where we're like, okay, let's go somewhere cool. We're on this beach, on this rock, basically in the middle of the sea, like totally private. And I had a bunch of paints. And what we did was, we got into groups and we used this paint to paint on our bodies words, negative words that we had been called before in our lives. So for example, I had not enough, I had too much, I had crazy, rude, you know, all of these words that were painted onto my body, and everyone did the same. And throughout the process, we were like chatting to each other. We were like, oh, like, what else? And then we were helping each other, like painting them on each other. And then we sat down in a circle and we play this game, which I always play in any single workshop, which is so important, called play or pass, which is like, okay, do you want to play? Which is like, do you want to share a bit about your experience and what you've written on your body? Or do you want to pass and be like, you know what? No, thanks. That's so important. It's like, you do not have to say anything. You don't even have to write any paint on you if you don't want to. So we did that and we all shared these experiences. And what I found so interesting when I was listening to everyone share their stories about these words on their bodies was that each time we were all like, we could all really relate to it. Like, yeah, I've been called that too. And then, oh, the story that they tell, it's like, oh, I've got my own story. You know, everyone has their own stories attached to the same words. And it made us all realize, we were like, wow, like, these words, without knowing it, are like running the shop. They're running our lives, but we're not aware of it. We don't notice. And I think it's easy to be like, oh no, I'm going to ignore the words I've been called because, you know, leave that there under the carpet. But that is when they are running the shop. They're driving your life. You aren't. These words are, and these experiences are. And then comes the fun part where we're like, okay, so these words, are they true? And like, no, they're not true. And we did a bit of like, I did a bit of coaching between different people. I said, look, would you say that she's a bitch? No, I think she's the most amazing person I've ever met. Why? Tell me. Because of this. And then this person was receiving this, like, wow, it hits, you know? And then we're like, right, okay, these words don't define us. And let's take our power back now from these words. So we all ran along the pier and jumped into the sea and washed all of the words away.
As you're talking, I'm just like, it's the one thing that I haven't done anything major like that since COVID. I did a in-person workshop a few weeks ago, and that had been since COVID. And that I think there's so much greatness to the online space, as in like if you're short on time, you can do like a yoga class, or you know, if you can't do an hour, you can do a 20 minute flow. But the in-person experiences and transformations, like everything you're saying, I'm like, oh my God, if it's so freeing when you go through that. And it's like you said, there are lots of people. I even remember in my teacher training, people would pass on certain things like that, and then it would circle back around, and then they would feel more open to talking about it, or it's just so transformational. And I love that one because I think it's the one thing you said is like, we all, I feel like can relate to a lot of things, but we all have different stories, and they can either be very similar to each other's or so completely different that like you were thinking of it in a certain way and somebody else was thinking in a certain way. And you're like, wow, I never thought of it like that, or like both bad and good ways. Mm-hmm. And it's just so eye-opening. And so I keep using the words transformational, but it is.
Yeah, it was incredible. And even like jumping in the scene, washing all of our off, it's just, yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah. So these are retreats you're going to, whether these are a few days long or a week long, you know, it's so amazing to be immersed into this, but it can sometimes be really hard to take that into the day-to-day life, especially if somebody's going back to their corporate job or, you know, back to a home that isn't as freeing as being on a retreat. What are some tools, wellness tools that you use in your day-to-day life that make you a better person or that put you in a better headspace when you're not on a retreat? Because being on a retreat can be very like you're in it and it seems like everything is great while you're there, but then you kind of go back to quote unquote reality and you're like, how do I take what I learn and bring it back into my daily life?
Yeah. I'd like to share a little bit as well about the tools that our guests on the retreat have gone back and told me that they use in their lives as well, which I think is really cool. Because this is the thing, like you're on the retreat, and I remember this one woman, she was quite young and came to the retreat, I think just a little bit quite curious, didn't really know like what was gonna happen. And I did an oracle card reading with her, and I remember the card, I always really remember the cards actually, and it was the right choice. And I was reading this card out to her, and I remember just like, so when I read cards of people, I can feel the energy of it, and I get certain messages that I'm like, this is what it's about for you. So I remember thinking, this is about your relationship. And I remember thinking like, you don't want me to say that, so I'm not going to say that. And I didn't say anything about it. And I read the card for her and I said, what do you think this is about? And she said, I think it's about my relationship. And I said, And she was like, but that's weird, because, you know, I don't know why it would say that. I was like, okay, like maybe discover that. Fast forward throughout the retreat and the whole experience, this woman went on one of the most amazing transformational journeys about really like discovering herself, creating this space for like her own meditations in the mornings, her own morning walks at sunrise that she does, a journaling practice, like all these things that she was like, I'm connecting with myself. Like she had this such dedication to connect with herself. And then she goes home, and since then she just totally transformed her life. Like her life has totally changed. And I said to her, I was like, how has it been? And she said, look, it's been scary, it's been challenging, but the best thing I've ever done for myself. Like it's like giving yourself a gift. And I said, okay, how do you keep yourself going? She says, I do all those things. Like I'm constantly connecting in meditation. And when I say that, when I was with her, we tried out these things in meditation that were not just like sitting there and being still, but actually like trying out a communication with the meditation, whether that be a communication with your higher self, the universe, your spirit guides. Like, it could even be with anything that you believe in. You don't have to hold a particular belief for it, or just a meditation with nature, communication with nature. And we would, like, I would say to her, okay, like, ask in your meditation, ask whoever you want to ask for whatever guidance you need right now. And she would, and then she would get these messages back, and she would start to really get very clear guidance from her meditations that she now uses in her everyday life to, like, make decisions. And that's exactly what I do. If I ever have a decision to make or a gut feeling about something, I'm meditating on it. And I'm like, okay, tell me what to do about this. So I would say there's so many layers to meditation. There's intelligence to be accessed, answers to be found in a meditation, messages to be received. The really exciting parts about meditation that the Calm app doesn't tell you, that we just don't get told. It's not just calm. There's intelligence there, and there's answers there. So that would be, like, the biggest one. But then I would also say oracle cards are also a great way to communicate with that and to work with your meditation. I'm reading lots of books.
What are you reading right now? I would love to know.
I am reading. I've got quite a few on the go.
I'm the same.
I've just finished one, and it's actually a business book called Oversubscribed, and it was absolutely incredible by a guy called Daniel Priestley. Really recommend that for anyone business focused. I've also got The Power of Now on the go.
Mm-hmm.
I've got that on Audible, so I've got this, like, really smooth voice in my head. And I've got Gabby Bernstein's book, Super Attractor, that I've finished it, and then I've just started reading it again.
Yeah, I love books like that, where you're just like, oh, I gotta read this again and pick up something new. It's so interesting what you said about meditation. I feel like there were so many things that were coming up for me with that, because yeah, I feel like people think it's just calming the mind and you're not focusing on anything. And yeah, that can definitely be an aspect of meditation if that is the goal, but you can manifest things or ask for certain things, or, and even saying that, like, I remember hearing, I can't remember who originally said it, and it's like, I'm gonna butcher it completely, but it's like, if you're asking for a sign, that's the sign. And a lot of the time we just tell ourselves stories about, like, well, like, should I do this or this? And it's like, we all deep down have that answer within us. We just want almost like a justification, I think, for doing it, or for making sure that it's the right decision. Like, we have to be sure before we go that route. And it's like, if you really get in tune with yourself and you really listen, like, you know, and you don't always know the answers or all the steps, but you just need to know that next step. And if it's the right decision for you, it will naturally unfold as it's meant to.
Yeah. I think we've been conditioned to ignore our inner voice or our gut feeling or intuition. But ultimately we all have it, and it's the most powerful thing we can ever listen to. But for some reason, when it comes to listening to the intuition, the inner voice, the gut feeling, we'll listen to anything else but that. And we'll get burned. Like, when you don't listen to your intuition, like, you will know, like, things go wrong. When you listen to your intuition, your, like, gut feeling, you're like, I knew that would happen. Like, things go right for you when you listen to it. But for some reason, it's like, we have to almost, like, build up this courage to trust ourselves, the most trustworthy people we've ever got. That we've, you know,
yeah,
I find it absolutely fascinating. I mean, I try it in my life too. And the thing is, with the intuition thing, like, and the meditation and this voice, this gut feeling, like, sometimes we don't like what it's telling us
because
mm-hmm. it's not our plan.
Yeah,
it's like, no, hang on, I wasn't planning that. Tell me something better. But ultimately, I personally believe that we have amazing abilities to create dreams and goals for ourselves in life. But I also believe that the universe or some kind of higher power, our higher selves, whatever that might be, has a better plan. And we have to trust that so that whenever something goes wrong, we know that it's happening for us, for a reason. You know, like my friend who I live with here, actually, she recently crashed her car and she was fine, but her car really wasn't fine. She spent a long time like on this island where you have to drive everywhere without a car. And what she learned from that, she was like, I need to accept help from people. She was like, I've taught myself to be so independent. I'm like, I know I have to look after myself. But really the universe was like, babe, you need to accept help and understand that people want to help you. And so she's had this like amazing personal discovery from that experience. Everything that goes wrong is teaching us something, I believe.
Yeah, no, I do too. And as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, there's so many lessons to be learned. And if something is playing out for you, I truly believe there's a lesson you need to learn or an experience you need to have. And if it's happening again and again, it's like, it's telling you, okay, you haven't learned from this. Like, this is why this is happening to you again. Or, you know, I think there's some misconception that like everything has to go right all the time if you're in this world. And it's like, no, it's still life. It still needs to show you something or teach you something, unless you just happen to be so tapped into everything that you're just like, you know, a monk living in the Himalayas. But even still, always showing you something, always trying to teach you how to be the best version of yourself or to connect to that higher self.
Yeah.
On a practical level, what do you do day to day? Are you meditating for 5 minutes in the morning or an hour? Are you dry brushing? Are you taking supplements? Like, what are those wellness practical things that are non-negotiable for you in your day-to-day life?
So first of all, I keep things really simple. I don't necessarily do the same thing every day either. And I'm not up at 4 a.m. meditating. I can tell you that for free. I like my sleep. But I keep it really simple. So I promise myself that I will do something for myself every day. So that might be a 20-minute meditation, either when I wake up or go to bed, or actually at any point I remember about it. Journaling. I'm super into journaling. I do journal most days, pretty much every day. I will journal at some point in the day. And really for me, that's like my dialogue with myself. I have a lot of realizations, but also memories in those journals. And it's also great to see how far I've come. Yoga. I love yoga, but I do not practice every single day. I practice, to be honest with you, as and when, probably like the worst yogi ever. I'm like, kind of fancy it today. And then like wellnessy wise, honestly, getting outside, swimming in the sea. Like, I like to keep things really simple. Like, I'm not taking supplements, but I eat fresh food and food that I think is going to get me nutrition. I love dessert too, though. And as far as like skincare comes along, like I put SPF on my face and that's it. Like, I keep things really simple because I personally believe like the less is more. And also, I know my human design and I'm someone who I have to feel in the mood for something. So my decision making comes from how I feel. And so I can't plan all these things because I'll be like, well, what if I don't feel like it in the morning? So I have to go with what I'm feeling like at the time.
I was going to ask you about your human design as you were talking. I was like, I need to look at her chart. Based on what you're saying, are you a sacral generator?
I am a manifesting generator.
With sacral authority?
Sacral is my authority.
Yeah. You know what? I was originally going to say, this is where the intuition comes into place. I was going to say manifesting generator. And then I was like, oh no, generator. But I like when you're like that in that moment, it's like, that's such a sacral authority to be like, nope, in the moment, this is what I'm doing. This, yeah. This, that. I love it. So I love human design. Oh, we could spend another hour just talking about human design.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's one of the things that I bring into the retreats as well. Is I've got a human design lady, and she does everyone's readings, because that's been a really pivotal thing for me. Like, once I knew that about myself, I wouldn't give myself a hard time for it.
Love it. I love it. Is there anything I haven't asked you that you want to share with the audience? Either a tool that has been life-changing for you, or an experience that you had that you just felt like opened your eyes up so much that you were like, I just want to share this with the audience?
All I would say is, you have that thing that you've always wanted to do and you're thinking of it right now. Go and do it. Please do it. Doesn't matter when, doesn't matter how, but make a promise to yourself that whatever that little dream is, whatever that thing is that you're like, I've always wanted to do this or go to this place, do it. You do not need someone to come with you. Solo travel. Say yes to new experiences, try weird things and see where it takes you, because that's been the best thing I've ever done, is like going on these trips on my own, trying like crazy weird stuff and being like, actually this is really cool, and knowing, like, now I know that the more I do that sort of stuff, the more my tribe come to me. So the people who are really aligned with me, who support me, who are amazing people in their own right, they know who I am because I show them, because I do the things that light me up. So the only thing I would say is, if there's something you're thinking, this really light me up, this would make my day, my week, my year, do it for you.
I love that. And as you're saying all of that, something's coming to mind and I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm going for it. You already gave two incredible book recommendations, but I want to ask you, since you said you were a podcast junkie as well, is there another book or a podcast or resource that has brought you incredible value that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah. So the first book that ever got me into all this stuff was The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. And honestly, it just switched my way of thinking about things. I realized that I have this power. And I think that was a really good one for that. So take it with a pinch of salt, read the book, don't watch the documentary, and give it a go. And then podcast-wise, Diary of a CEO is my favorite. Another one that's quite cool is Saturn Returns.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, amazing. Georgia, this has been such a fun conversation. I feel like I could keep talking to you. If people want to see what you're up to online, if they want to join you on a retreat, where can everybody go and find you?
The easiest place to find me is on Instagram. My page is Yoga by Georgia. And the retreats page is Sancti Retreats, or you can go to sancti.co.uk for all the upcoming news and events about the retreats.
I love it so much. I will make sure everything is linked in the show notes. Georgia, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you. It's been great to speak with you, Megan.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.